Welcome everyone to this episode of the HME Business Podcast. I'm Bob Holly, an executive editor with WTWH Media, the parent company of HME Business, and I'm thrilled to be your host for this conversation. If you haven't met me before, I work behind the scenes with HME Business Editor-in-Chief Lori Watanabe, who I'm sure you have heard of before. For this podcast, I'm joined by an incredible guest, Sandy Canale, founder and CEO of The Compliance Team, good friends of ours at HME Business. The focus of this conversation will be on differences between DMEPOST retailers and suppliers, certification and accreditation, the latest from the compliance team, where it's headed from here, and so much more. So let's get to it. I am very pleased to welcome Sandra Canale, founder and CEO of the compliance team. Sandy, thank you so much for joining HME Business for this conversation.
And thank you.
So I think most of our HME Business audience members are familiar with your organization, the compliance team. But for those who aren't, could you maybe share a little bit of background about the compliance team? I'm sure that'll be helpful for anybody, especially new to the industry as well.
Be happy to. So the compliance team is a CMS-approved, nationally recognized accreditation organization. So what that means is when DMEPOST was required to get accredited, we were one of the agencies that was approved by Medicare to carry out that mission. Been in business 30 years. We're actually celebrating this year. Just came back from a great conference of celebration and training, and looking forward to many more.
Well, congrats on the big anniversary, too. Editor-in-Chief of HME Business, Lori Watanabe, mentioned that happened to me recently. So my warmest congrats on that.
Thank you.
And, you know, you've been with the compliance team since the beginning as the founder. Could you kind of give me the company's origin story, walk me through how it's evolved over time from when it was founded until as we're talking right now?
So years ago, well, first of all, I'm a nurse by training and had many different positions as it relates to compliance, to regulatory, home health, DME, and was exposed to accreditation early on. And as I moved through my career, it became crystal clear to me that the world of accreditation needed improvement. And what I mean by that was it was difficult, it was costly. It did not focus in on what mattered most to patients, which we feel is safety, honesty, and caring. And all in all, it did not lend itself to being a good experience for the providers. Thus, the providers would do it kicking and screaming. So the other thing that I had mentioned before was being CMS approved via the Medicare Modernization Act. But just so you know, we were one of four accreditors that were actively accrediting DMEPOST prior to the Modernization Act. And why would they get accredited when it wasn't required? It was all about improving their business. And that's what we focused in on. Improving day-to-day practices in whoever their customer was, getting a better customer experience, having the customer trust the provider more. So it lended itself to that. Now, you asked, okay, where are we today versus yesteryear? Well, number one, with the deadline, we had thousands of providers that jumped on board at the last minute. And then competitive bidding came along and obviously decreased some of the numbers of providers through that system. And I think what it did was it left us with very strong business people that are in the business of serving their community via DMEPOST, via pharmacy, whatever. And standards come into play with doing things the right way. how are we different today from yesteryear with the compliance team? We continue to diversify and are very sensitive to market need. As they change, we change and make sure that we're meeting the needs of our customers. And if somebody calls up and, you know, asks us, oh, I have this different model, can you accredit that? Well, typically the answer is yes, because I am an entrepreneur after all. But, you know, it's all about, okay, how does that model best serve the community and the patient? So I consider myself an entrepreneur, but more of a social entrepreneur, meaning that in the end, it's for the greater good, so that there's purpose to everything we do as it relates to improving the business of the customer and the way they serve their patients.
I love that expression that you use. As they change, we change. There are a lot of changes in this space. So I imagine that means the compliance team needs to be pretty nimble and that you're changing pretty frequently.
No question. And again, it's about being sensitive to these little niches that have been otherwise unidentified by our competition. So, and that's what we pride ourselves on. One, on turning on a dime as it relates to new regulations that are then, you know, put upon us. But more importantly than that is being sensitive to that ever-changing involvement. Certainly, the pandemic influenced how folks in our industry do business, not only during the pandemic, but after the pandemic as well. And one needs to recognize the fact that some of the ways they continue to do business is different than it once was 10 years ago, 15 years ago, whatever. So that, you know, you have to continue to evolve. Those folks that are in business, and I know we're going to talk about Medicare and non-Medicare type providers. One of the things that the compliance team did early on, which I believe is one of the main reasons for our success, is in diversifying and not putting all our eggs in one basket. And I say that to the providers as well. If you're limited in your reimbursement one way, then clearly you need to look for other opportunities to continue to reinvent your business.
One more question from me to kind of get our audience really familiar with the compliance team and what you've been up to lately. And then we're going to dig into the meat of the conversation here. We mentioned the big anniversary that recently took place. What have been some other big highlights for the compliance team in 2024?
Well, certainly every time we put in a reapplication to CMS for the deeming to continue, we have that on the rural health clinic side, as well as home infusion therapy. And we went through that additional vetting and reapplication with Medicare this past year. So now, okay, here we go. We're now redeemed for both rural health clinics and home infusion therapy. And just so you know what that means, typically it's an entire year of process of turning in our policies, of turning in how our processes work. It's Medicare validating our way of doing things by shadowing us at a provider location. It's approving our standards over and over again. So when folks hear that we're CMS approved, that is a huge undertaking. to do that. On the demi-post side, it's not quite the same because it comes under a different umbrella of CMS, but certainly the Part A side is that stringent year-long vetting process.
Well, thank you for all that background. Let's kind of get to the focus of this podcast episode. A big focus of the conversation is outlining the differences between demi-post retailers and suppliers, and then unpacking certification and accreditation for both groups. I think on my end, I want to start with the basics. What is the difference between a demi-post retailer versus a supplier?
Okay. So when I think of the word supplier, I'm thinking of the demi-posts, and I'll call them a provider, that is required to get accredited. And they're being required to get accredited either by Medicare because they want to bill Medicare, they want to get a PTAN number, or it could be Medicaid or private insurance. Most insurances have followed Medicare with regard to requirements for credentialing. In order to be part of the network, they usually start with, okay, you must be accredited, and you must be accredited by one of these approved agencies. So that's typically the billing supplier, provider, whatever you want to call them. Now, when I refer to retailer, I'm talking about those folks that are accepting cash, are not billing insurance. They could, in fact, have a brick and mortar as well as doing online or via a mobile app, but they're not accepting insurance. Now, there are some providers that have PTAN numbers that go both ways. They create a division that is just cash and is not accepting any kind of insurance. So they even separate it maybe in a separate suite, or they may do that via their website. So there's a variety of models out there, but we cannot discount the fact that providers, suppliers can in fact be both. They can do retail by offering cash, and they can also, in another division or suite or whatever, be doing Medicare business as well.
So I think I want to follow that up, asking you for further clarification on something. What's the difference between demi-post accreditation and demi-post retailer certification?
Okay, so when we're talking about accreditation, whether it's via Medicare for demi-posts or anything else, we're talking about looking at the entire organization. So we're looking at HR, we're looking at administration, we're looking at how they do business with, how they manage equipment, how they serve their patient, how they follow OSHA, all of those things. And then with regard to certification, certification is really focused in on standards that only relate to a specific service. So, for example, okay, they're doing cash and they're only doing mobility products as it relates to their retailer offering. We're going to certify how they do that particular type of service as opposed to looking at the entire business structure.
If I'm a demi-post not billing Medicare and because, you know, I'm not doing that, I'm not required to get accredited or certified, why would I take that extra step of doing it? What are the benefits to me and my business?
So as we discussed earlier, it's all about improving your business and having a third party come in to verify and validate that you meet standards that basically, you know, keep you on track, that you're going to send the message with that quality validation to the community that you can be trusted as a business owner, as somebody that's going to provide them medical equipment. So in other words, it's a differentiator. Now, not only accreditation or certification does that, but the compliance team owns the brand Exemplary Provider. Now, a lot of folks can't spell that exemplary, but they know what it means. They certainly know what exemplary means more than accreditation or certification. So that is our brand with all of our certified programs as well as accreditation.
I'm speaking to Sandra Canale, founder and CEO of the compliance team, for this HME Business Podcast conversation. Now, Sandy, I kind of want to ask the other side of the coin to that question too, right? So if I'm a DMEPOS supplier that's not billing Medicare, isn't that just me leaving money on the table? Why wouldn't I be doing that?
Well, number one, there are business models, as we've discussed, that don't include billing Medicare. So is that leaving money on the table? I guess it depends on what your goals are with what patient population do you want to reach. And let's face it, there when it gets into not bothering with insurance and all of that, you have that convenience to the patient or the family that just wants a manual wheelchair, that wants, you know, a cane, a walker, whatever you had mentioned home health before, and somebody comes home from the hospital and it's easy to get onto online, and I'm not going to mention any names, but order something like that. Now, the problem with that, without any kind of accreditation or certification that accompanies that, is that the patient / caregiver, family, whatever, is not going to get the instruction and that guaranteed fit of a business that is held to standards that require these things. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. And I'm just kind of putting my home healthcare news hat on for a second, because for our audience members who don't know, I've spent a large part of my career hopping around from different healthcare publications. And so much of this conversation, I think, applies to that world as well, when we're talking about Medicare certified home health agencies, and then those kind of cash pay private duty home care agencies that maybe don't need to go through certification or accreditation processes, but the really good ones do, because they know that it's kind of a shining star for a lot of their clients that speaks to their quality. So definitely makes sense. And I think there are parallels to so many other parts of healthcare as well.
Oh, and no question. And again, I think folks that have been in healthcare, been exposed to healthcare, have that expectation of some type of third-party evaluation or, you know, to your point, gold star kind of seal of approval that speaks to them. The other thing, it really helps the patient consumer feel that they chose wisely, because otherwise they are taking a chance, not knowing how this provider truly does business. And, you know, now we have Google reviews, we have all sorts of measurement organizations out there that do just that with customer experience. Well, we're all about customer and patient experience. We're actually, I know this isn't part of the questions, but I'm throwing it out anyway. We're also the only accreditor that has our own portal for patient satisfaction data and has millions of data points that dates back to 1999 for DemiPost and pharmacy. So it is truly about, you know, especially with baby boomers and even with our children that are now have that higher level of expectation for things being done the right way. And they want proof of everybody's from Missouri, right? They want proof of how it's how you do business and what the guarantee is behind what you're selling us.
That's so true. And with a lot of our senior care publications, we talk a lot about shifting consumer preferences and those shifts being driven by baby boomers, because they really do, like you said, take charge of the services, the products, the goods that they're acquiring. And like you said, again, the same holds true for their family members who are involved in the process as well. We've been chatting for about 20 minutes or so, and I want to start to look ahead, learn a little bit about your plans for the rest of the year, even looking into next year. So Sandy, I think to get there, I just want to dive in and ask, what's the future hold for the compliance team and its clients?
Well, certainly coming off our celebration of 30 years, I'm at an all-time high. And it's not about where we've been, but it's about where we're going. And our theme is always looking forward, because that's what we need to look forward to better help and serve our providers as well as them serving their patients. A good example of that, which I will tack along with our DemiPost retailer, is we've just launched our e-commerce protection accreditation, which is for providers that are doing business online or via a mobile app. Now, what does that do? It protects the customer, meaning the consumer. It protects the provider, the DemiPost provider or pharmacy, and it protects the payment processor, because we've got all of these controls in place to ensure that security and privacy. There's a great deal of interest for this because, as you know, many business models, even if it's in addition to brick and mortar, are focusing in on online transaction. And certainly with everything that's happened this year in the world of healthcare and hacking and so forth, security, privacy, and just knowing that there is protection is key in doing business.
Yeah, there haven't been any notable cybersecurity instances of 2024, right? I'm obviously just joking to those tuning in. It seems like every single
exactly.
week we're
exactly.
on a new one. Sandy, looking at the back half of this year or even 2025, could you maybe share one or two main goals for the compliance team?
So one of the things, obviously, was to expand that, what we call the e-commerce protection accreditation. But over and above that, we're going to be looking at areas in behavioral health that, you know, typically I talked about assessing the market for needs and what programs speak to us. Well, sometimes it's our clients that come to us and say, I want to expand my physician practice into adding behavioral health and intensive outpatient psychiatry, and I really want the compliance team seal of approval as an exemplary provider. So that's a hint that we're going to be looking at that in 2025, as well as some other things that I really can't mention at this point in time. But just know that it's always about delivering the best possible care for patients, meaning that every patient deserves exemplary care, which is why we called our accreditation the Exemplary Provider Accreditation. And in that mission, enabling and providing roadmaps or a GPS or tools or resources, whatever, to give our providers the way to deliver that level of care across the board.
All right, Sandy, this is a fun question I wanted to ask. Finish this sentence. In the DemiPost space, the next 12 months will be defined by dot, dot, dot.
Certainly, I think politics come into play within the next 12 months. The other thing I believe is germane is that CMS is looking at better oversight of the accreditors with regard to how we deliver our services to the providers and how that's organized. And there, you know, will be certain things that we may need to change the way we do things because of CMS's regained oversight with regard to DemiPost. Again, it's always about the mission being improving the delivery of care and certainly preventing fraud and abuse.
Well, I think that checks off a lot of the questions that I had on my list. So I think I want to just give you this opportunity to say any final messages you have for the HME business audience. What else is important for them to know about the compliance team, or what else is important for our listeners to know about this market at this point in time and where it's headed?
I think that the providers need to know that there's plenty of opportunity out there. And certain providers, such as small independent pharmacies that also do DemiPost, that there is money to be had. Sometimes it relates to how you're doing things or what you're offering, and that there, number one, there is a need for pharmacies to continue to carry DemiPost because they are the place that folks go to more regularly than anyone else. And to the world of just DemiPost without being a pharmacy, there still is opportunity with all of these new business models, with care coordination, with talking to your referral sources, with utilizing satisfaction data to prove to them the customer experience that you provide to get more orders. So I say 25 is filled with opportunity. You just need to be ready for it.
That is a great note to end the conversation on. I've been speaking to Sandra Canali, founder and CEO of the Compliance Team. A big thank you to the Compliance Team for having this conversation with HME Business, and an equally big thanks to you, Sandy, for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from HME Business, a WTWH Media publication. If you want to learn more about opportunities like this one, reach out. You can connect with me at rholly@wtwhmedia.com. That's just rholly@wtwhmedia.com. I'm Bob Holly with HME Business, and we'll catch you next time.